back with us. He's a veteran, but in a new position. Tim Rabar is joining us, and now with Ohio Living Home Health and Hospice. So a new move for you.
Pretty excited about it, too. Been with them, just finished my first 3 months. We have an awesome team, but I'm confident that we are serving and making a difference in our community in a profound way and in the kingdom of God. So it's awesome to be part of it.
I'm a, you know, as a pastor and just in dealing with people, end-of-life issues, I'm a big fan of hospice. I think they do incredible work. And, yeah, it's really a totally different approach to caring for people at the end of life, still valuing them. And, yeah, it's really, really awesome. We'll give you a chance to talk about that and the work you're doing with them in a few moments. But right now, we're going to turn things over to you and let you share what God's laid on your heart.
Yeah, thanks, Tommy. So today I wanted to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan, one of the classics, and just make some comments about it and hopefully some applications. So we're going to pick up reading that segment of Scripture in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Uh-oh.
Which never turned out well.
Good luck with that one, buddy. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. Another uh-oh.
Yeah.
Right? He asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. When he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told them, go and do likewise. You know, it's always a good idea to question Jesus, right? Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. I remember there was a time when I was having a conversation with someone and I said, you know, I don't really struggle all that much with compassion. I don't really struggle all that much with like unforgiveness. I've never really had a major struggle. Whoops. So you know what happened? Shortly thereafter, I actually got hurt and wounded to a point where I actually struggled with unforgiveness, because just at that time, it was something that I had never really encountered before. So be careful what you think you might have checked off your list as not a struggle of yours. You know, it's amazing how many times we think that we have something beat and something licked. And then all of a sudden, a new opportunity is presented before us, and we really see the condition of our heart. And so just a few points on this. You know, this is one of those classics where there's a lot of application. But today, I just want to look, kind of narrow in on the compassion of God and the compassion that he calls us to. Who is my neighbor is that question. And really, I think this expert in the law, I don't know if it was a lawyer or attorney, you know, some people try to question, you know, what his actual profession was. One thing for sure is he was looking for a loophole. And we all do this whether we're cognizant of it or not, right? We're always looking for an opportunity, some way to kind of wiggle in there and still kind of look the part, play the part, get the thing accomplished, but maybe not do it the way of the most honorable and with the highest amount of integrity. Of course, Jesus illustrates the example of someone who is least likely for this expert of the law to help himself, the Samaritan, you know? The irony that Jesus presents in this parable, maybe it was a true story. I mean, it's called a parable in my Bible, so it's got to be a parable. But I'm sure this happens time and time again and continues to happen, where the person that you struggle with loving the most is actually the one who's loving to others, you know? So you've judged this person and said, you know, they're not worthy of mercy. And then that person that you're judging is actually extending mercy to others, you know? It's the old, you know, take the plank out of your own eye. Don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. So God is always looking to search and seek those areas in our heart where we're not willing to release that mercy. God is a God of compassion. You know, he sees our suffering, But we are not only called to see the suffering, but he calls us as his hands and feet to act. Compassion, true, deep, godly compassion, is to offer action, to not just see it. You know, you wonder if this priest, you know, walked by and said a little prayer. How convicting this is for me every time I look at it, right? Because how many times do we drive by someone who's broken down on the road? Maybe I'm the only one.
Probably not.
Okay, good. Thanks for saving me there for a minute. But, you know, and you're like, gosh, should I help them? You know, they look like they might not know how to change a tire, you know? And you drive by, but you're busy. You're on your way to work. So isn't this really trusting God, you know, each and every opportunity to hear his voice, to know that when we're called to action, God's going to take care of it. You're going to earn favor with your boss if you're running 15 minutes late to, you know, to help change a tire. Or if you're, you know, on the way to the doctor's appointment, he's going to provide every need when you have these opportunities for compassion, for faith in action. You know, in James 2:17, faith without works is dead. You can't just say, well, you know, be warm and filled and walk away. We've got to stop and we've got to truly be there with someone in their moment of compassion and then act on it. And then also with that, God is a God of empathy. Compassion is bigger than just sympathy, just having pity on someone completely. But as you see, not only in verse 33 does it say the Samaritan took pity on him, but then he actually did stuff. He bandaged his wounds. He took him to the inn. He went over and beyond. Empathy is knowing that you can identify and understand with that person in their moment, just like Jesus is empathetic to us. I love that scripture in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. Jesus identifies with us, and he can empathize with us because he's been through it. You know, my kids, at times, especially my maybe high school student, you don't understand, Dad, in high school. I'm like, actually, I do. I was in high school. You know, I understand. I get it, sweetheart. You know, it's hard. High school's hard because I've been through it. I can actually identify and empathize with her and recognize the difficulties and the challenges, you know, as a teenager, as a high school student. Well, Jesus came to earth so that he could identify. We don't have that complaint with him. We can't just say, well, you don't understand, God. Actually, he does. He gets it. He's been through it. He has suffered in every way and tempted in every way that we have, and yet he can still be there for us and be that rock that we can stand on because he understands and he can empathize with us. So as we approach others with that same love that we've received from God, it's got to flow from our lives. And that's why Jesus calls us, now we've freely received, now we must freely give and extend that same compassion to others.
Oh, that's a good word, Tim. Would you go ahead and pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. Lord God, we ask for your help. Lord, God, we don't know the opportunities that are going to be before us today. God, this week, Lord, in the near future, but we know that there is a lot of people out there that are struggling, a lot of people that are suffering, a lot of opportunities, Lord, where people need mercy, people need help. People don't need just a quick prayer or a high and a bye. People actually need love and compassion in action. So, Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes to see those opportunities before us, Lord, where we can really make a difference in someone's lives. We can really act and be your hands and feet on this earth. Help us in every way, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Pastor Tim Ribara joining us now with Ohio Living Home Health and Hospice. So a new position for you. What are you doing with them?
Yeah, so Ohio Living Home Health and Hospice, we've been around since 2006 here in Northwest Ohio, and we are the only faith-based Christian-founded hospice organization in the area. We are not for profit. We were founded 97 years ago. We're going on 100 years, Ohio Living.
Wow.
And we were founded by a group of believers that wanted to make a difference in people's lives, seniors specifically. We used to be referred to as Senior Independence. And we've changed our name, I believe it was 5 years ago, to Ohio Living, because we've always had this mission to care for people that's consistent with the Christian gospel. And today, like even talking about compassion, you know, it's a big, big buzzword of where we're at. We're always trying to make sure that our lives and our minds are centered around compassion. And we have an awesome team. A couple months ago, our office was asked, what are two or three words that kind of personify, that come to mind about hospice? And compassion was overwhelming the majority of that word because it's most commonly associated with that action on those that are suffering. You know, those that have just have come to a place where a cure and treatment of a disease is no longer the option. It's no longer the best option. So we're there to actually treat the person and the individual and to love them right where they're at and just be the arms and feet of Jesus. And man, we have such an awesome team, and it's just such an awesome opportunity to minister to those who are just, you know, facing that end of life, you know, decision and the end of life, you know, point in their life. And it's just a blessing, man.
And folks want to find out more information, how can they do so?
Absolutely. So if you or, you know, a loved one wants an evaluation or wants to find out more information about hospice and what that really means, 419-865-1499, or you can go to our website, ohioliving.org.
Excellent. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for being in. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.